Turn, please, to the first book of Chronicles and chapter 26. The first book of Chronicles and chapter 26 for a little reading. The verse I want is verse 27. First Chronicles 26 and verse 27. Out of the spoils won in battle did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Out of the spoils won in battle did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Now I may ask you to read another verse presently, but that will be sufficient. I've kept the reading short because I like to take time to give a bit of an introduction and time for a bit of a conclusion, but I'll eliminate all of those and try and divide the time with some other brother. We know that we have been hearing about the tabernacle, and many of us know that the latter part of the book of First Chronicles is to a large extent devoted to some of the details connected with the temple which replaced the tabernacle. We would find in these chapters the pattern of the temple. We could also find in these chapters the preparation for the temple. I could find something at the end of First Chronicles about the priesthood of the temple. I could also find a chapter dealing with the singers and the praise of the temple. And what I want to say a little word for a moment or two about is not only the protection of the temple, but the preservation of it, the maintenance. Now, that's a job. The maintenance of the house of the Lord. Not many of us here, there may be a few, but not many of us here saw the assembly planted. Not many of us are first generations in the assembly. How do you keep the thing going? How do you maintain the house of the Lord in its beauty, in its glory, in its pristine condition? Would we not admit, and I'm not pointing fingers here, I'm taking the share of the blame. In assembly testimony, dear brethren and sisters, has there not been a shocking deterioration? You say, are you talking about the reduction in statistics? No, no. I'm talking about the reduction in standard. We don't seem, for some reason or other, we seem to have great difficulty in maintaining the house of the Lord. You take your own house. You get it built. You have the architect's plan. It's built according to specification. The materials are good. The workmanship is excellent. And there it is. It's just finished. 245,000 grand. You say, I will never need to touch it again. Just you let that 245,000 house and all its beauty, just let it go. Pay no attention to the gutters. Pay no attention to the windows. Pay no attention to the doors. And just give us a few years and the thing will be showing serious signs of wear. You know, if, and forgive me for making this very bland comparison, if our ordinary dwelling house demands physical and natural attention, I ask you, does not God's dwelling place demand attention? The maintenance of the house of the Lord. I know now, of course, if you want to be modern, you'll have as many maintenance-free products about your place as possible. And as much of it will be PVC as can possibly be allowed. And a tin of paint and a brush will never be needed. Can I say there's nothing PVC in God's assembly? It's real. It's living. It's not artificial or imitation. And dear brother, dear sister, you just let the house of the Lord go. And the doors will fall. And the roof will begin to leak. And the windows will become clouded. And the light will be dim. And just given a few years of sloppiness and carelessness, the whole thing will be a shambles, a spiritual shambles. To maintain the house. This is an interesting word, actually. I'll not go into details because of the promise that I've already made. I could turn you to passages in the Old Testament where this word is translated fortify. I could come to another passage where this word is translated strengthen. I could find another passage where this word is translated mend. And I could get another passage where this word is translated repair. A few repairs need to be done. Have there been any breakdowns in the assembly that you're... Would there have been needed any repairs? Would anything need to be fortified? Would anything need to be strengthened? Tell me, is the midweek prayer meeting, is it weak? Well, you say, how could I strengthen it? I'll tell you, be sure you're there as often as you can. Strengthen it. What about the remembrance meeting? Is the worship weak? Oh, dear brethren, as I look around, and it's not all gone. It hasn't all drifted. It's not all lost. Look at this company of people gathered this afternoon and this evening. Praise God for His marvelous mercy and for the work that is marching on. But may God preserve us from spiritual complacency, because if it's going to be carried on, the house will need maintenance. Now, the necessity of maintenance is absolutely obvious, but let me come quickly to think about the cost of it and the materials. It says, out of the spoils, won in battle. Oh. Did you hear about 13 minutes ago a man talking about switch spirituality, and he said there was none of it? That's it. We would like to strengthen. We would like to fortify. We would like to maintain assembly testimony and to see the whole thing flourish. But remember, it's going to be a struggle. It won't come easily. It won't just happen overnight. Out of the spoils, one in... Oh, yes. We've been hearing about being at His feet. We've been reading about before His face. I want to speak just now about being in His field. You know, there are battles to be fought. There are risks to be taken. There are sacrifices to be made. There are soldiers that are urgently required. There are victories to be won. Out of the... Oh, it's a struggle. I know it's a struggle. I know it's a struggle. And as a little boy coming from the country, I would have to speak very carefully in the city of Belfast. I owe much to many of the godly believers here. It's not easy in the city. Some of you people find it a struggle just to keep the thing going. You know, it's a physical struggle. I go to meetings. And sometimes I wonder where all the younger folks are. And I look across and there's an old lady full of arthritis, but she's there. And there's a brother with a stick and a hearing aid, but he's there. And the younger folks, well, where are they? Well, only God knows. And it's a physical struggle, just in some cases it's a spiritual struggle. Some of you brethren have to contend with liberalism and modernism. In some cases it's a doctrinal struggle. But remember, dear brethren, can I say, no matter where it is, in the things of God, things don't come easily. Out of the spoils, won in battle. All I'll say to your brothers this, I know that the struggle's tough, but don't you desert your post. Don't you be giving up. We have, let me say, do not under any circumstances surrender to the enemy. We have enough fifth columnists without any more surrender. Out of the spoils, one and you know, I find it a struggle to pray. I don't mean to pray here. I don't find it so much a struggle to preach. There's a bit of publicity in God, but I find it a struggle to pray. I find it's a battle to get at His feet, because there are a thousand other things to be. I say, if we are going to see revival and assembly testimony and better days, it will only be the result of battle. If we are going to see the worship and the witness and the work and the wealth enhanced, there'll have to be warfare. I repeat my text. Out of the spoils, won in battles, plural, they dedicated to maintain the house of the Lord. Chapter 18, if you have your Bible open, if not, you can defer in the reading, it's a short reading. Chapter 18. Verse 11 is the text I want here. This is where these valuables came from. Verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 18. Them also did King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and the gold that he brought from all these nations. From Edom. He was a boy. From Moab. Who? From the children of Ammon. Oh, I tell you. And from the Philistines. And from Amalek. You know, to get these spoils that enriched the house and maintained the house and guaranteed its beauty and its future, there were men had to contend. David contended on five fronts. Dear brethren, there are many foes and there are many fronts on which we have to engage. Now, I'm not talking about fighting with people. No, I'm not thinking about that. But I'm talking about a number of principles that we will have to face. And we will have to wage war upon these principles if assembly testimony is going to be maintained. The first principle that I want to speak about that must be challenged, corrected, and conquered is Edom. David captured wealth from Edom that provided material for the house of God. What was Edom? Edom's the principle of independence. He wouldn't let it. You're not coming into my land. You're not coming into my land. I have got my land, and I have got my water, and I'm not going to give it to you, the people of God, or anything. Edom. Edom set up in his great big citadel of Petra. Oh, they needed nothing. They needed no one. Dear brethren, listen. There's one thing that we have to conquer if we're going to maintain the house of God, and that is a spirit of independence. You know, we need to realize that we're absolutely dependent on God. Actually, when David conquered the Edomites, he composed Psalm 60. And some of you are way ahead of me. You know what Psalm 60 says? O Lord, give us help. For vain is the help of man. You know, I think the assembly of Laodicea had capitulated to Edomism. Oh, we are rich. We are increased with goods. We have need of nothing. We are the people. We are self-sufficient. I think it was Mr. Darby who's credited with saying, and I've often quoted it, and whether it was his statement or not, it's verily true. Our greatest weakness is that we do not know how really weak we are. Dear brethren, if we could conquer that spirit of independence and get down upon our faces and cry to God in the midst of need, we could maybe see the house maintained. I'm talking there, and I don't want to be rhyming on. I'm talking about so many places, and they wouldn't get people for the prayer meeting. No, get a cup of tea, they would all come.
but just for a bland, bare prayer meeting.
I hope that we'll be taught again our dependence upon God. You know, there's a little difference in the original language between Edom and Adam.
The Adam principle that asserted itself in Genesis 3, independent of God, it was bred in the descendants of Esau.
And you know, there's a self-sufficient thing in human beings. Oh, we've got good cars. And we've got computers. We can produce sermons. You can produce 20 of them an hour any time. See, these boys go through the thing with their online Bible, with the concordance, the sermons are just rolling out. A fella told me, he said, a while ago, he says, what do you want a sermon on? He says, name the text. And he had to spin them up. That's all a pile of nonsense. Dear brethren, that kind of thing, great sermons on the work of God is not advanced by machinery. It's advanced in the sanctuary. People that feel their need of God, may God help us to conquer Edom. Because we need to maintain the house. What about Ammon? You know, when David sent a gesture of kindness to Ammon, and a gesture of goodwill, remember he cut the old Ammonites, they cut the skirts of the boys and shaved half their beard. They said, we don't want your goodwill. Take it back, we don't want your goodwill. You know, the Ammon principle is the principle of ingratitude. I am concerned. 6:30. Gospel meeting. People need to be saved. 12 brethren will pray. And if you're not quick to get in, you haven't a chance of getting in.
11:30 that morning. 12 brethren pray in the evening, asking in half an hour.
You have 55 minutes in the morning. 3 brethren give thanks. It seems to me that when it comes to getting from God, you couldn't keep us quiet. But when it's a matter of giving to God, you could hardly get us started. I feel, brethren, that the Ammon principle has crippled the maintenance of the house.
May God help us to judge. You know, it's all around us in the world. There's a great big world, and they take gifts and they just plough through a superfluity of material provisions, and they're thankful for nothing.
I'm a little bit suspicious that that spirit has got into my own soul. May God make us thankful, because we need to see. What about the Philistine? They're powerful fellows. You know, they were never stuck for an idea. If you wanted a thing done handy, just get a Philistine. He could make you a kirk any day. And he could shift things. And you let those boys carrying the thing about, and sure, they're all worried, and it's a whole time. We'll make a kirk. You know, a Philistine was a man with fantastic ideas. He was just as modern as you'd want them. I remember a brother from Scotland telling us that a Philistine represented the mind of man and the things of God. And the best thing you could do with him was do with what David did with the big one, just cut the head off him. You see, human intelligence, just bare human intelligence, doesn't advance God's work. And maybe I should tell you that downright stupidity doesn't help it either. Because some people seem to glory in that. No, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, look, you Corinthians, he says, the foolishness of this world, he says, it was shown in all its nakedness at Calvary. Oh, brethren, let the principle of independence, the principle of ingratitude. You see that lady in Luke 7? You see that man in Luke chapter 17, the leper? There wasn't a trace of Ammon in them. The Philistines, the principle of innovation. You know, we have far too many innovations. And if innovations kept the thing going forward, we should be nearly into the millennium. Because we have plenty of them. May God enable us to judge the Philistines. What about the Moab principle? And I'm going to have to stop here. The Moab principle. Ah, the Moab. He liked to lie back. He was a boy loved to go sunbathing and all that. He had a great thing. He's the principle of indulgence.
He wasn't emptied from vessel to vessel. He just enjoyed himself. Oh, it was just great. You know, we are going to get our holiday. But gospel meetings, we are going on holiday. Some people, I think, they never arrange holidays until gospel meetings are announced. Now, and if that was you, I haven't heard about you, you know. I haven't heard of it. Just take it from the Lord. And cancel. I'm not decrying a holiday. But you know, dear brothers and sisters, we have reached a stage where we have to have our comfort. And we have to have our perks. And we have to have our lifestyle. Oh, we'll have to have our lifestyle. Let the meetings, let the assembly, this stuff. It'll be all right. Let the rest of them do it. But we'll work hard all year and we deserve it. Yes. You see, that's the Moab principle. But that doesn't maintain the house. And the Amalek principle. You know, the Amalek principle was the principle of insubordination. One day God told Saul, he says, Saul, you go and do that. And he says, wipe them out completely. Saul came back, he says, Lord, I've done it. Samuel, I've done it all. I've done the whole thing that the Lord... He says, pardon? Pardon? He says, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. He says, the voice of the part. He says, I hear other voices. He says, I hear the voice of the sheep. He says, how do I hear the voice of the sheep if you have obeyed the voice of the Lord? Oh, well, you know, it was just partial obedience. And you know what God said? He said that obedience was just like rebellion. And it was just like the sin of witchcraft. May God help us to fight and to maintain. What do you say? Oh, I think I'm finished. So I notice when brethren go on after they finish, they're serious problems. So I think I better just stop. But out, I quote it again, out of the spoils of battle did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. The must of maintenance, the materials of maintenance, the motivation for maintenance. Now you say it's not worth it. Imagine going away and fighting all those old rascals and things and putting your life at risk and the time that you spend. It's not worth it. Every one of those soldiers will tell you, it's for the house of the Lord. His house. May God help us. There's nothing like His assembly. May God help us to put our best in it. With worship. We heard about worship and wealth and warfare. It's a staggering little word, but I thought it fitted with our brothers, and I trust the Lord will bless us. Now, we'll not sing a hymn, but perhaps we could look for a brother with 5 words in 10 minutes. Our Father, in the peerless, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire again to speak to Thee. From full hearts, Father, we would thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee for the great salvation that He has purchased by shedding His precious blood upon the cross at Calvary. We have been reminded earlier in our evening, in this meeting this evening, of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Lord, we have nothing to boast about. We have everything to be thankful for, and we lift our hearts in gratitude to Thee just now to thank Thee for the Son of Thy love. We thank Thee too for the Lord's people. We're able to spend a happy time together enjoying each other's fellowship. We thank Thee for this. We praise Thee too for Thy holy word and for the liberty we enjoy to open the Scriptures and to listen to our dear brethren whom Thou hast fitted to minister the Word of God to us. This certainly has been a day spent in Thy courts, a day in which our souls have been enriched. We thank Thee for the ministry of the gracious Holy Spirit. And we trust that in Thy will tomorrow, as Thy people will gather here again, that we will experience still more of that ministry which exalts the person of Christ, that ministry which feeds our soul, that ministry which quickens our step heavenward and homeward.
And now, Father, as we shortly will be leaving here, we do pray that Thou wilt grant us safety in our travels. That we will take from us, from this meeting today, that upon which we can feast in days to come, and Thy will. And so we give thanks to Thee, in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.